chapter 8. We've been in chapter 8 now for about 3 weeks. There's a lot to unpack here, and we're going to be looking at having hope in the midst of hurts. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse 14 down through verse 25. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all, for who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. Father, I come again to you asking you that you will speak through your word by your Holy Spirit to us this morning. And I pray, Father, that as you do speak, Lord, I pray that we will listen with our hearts, with our spirit, and that, Lord, you will do the changes in us that need to be changed. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we walk in the Lord, we find a new life that is full of security, intimacy, companionship, and stability. We don't have to walk alone because if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? We were talking this morning in our Bible study time in Philippians, the book of Philippians. Paul was writing from prison, and he was sharing with the church at Philippi what an opportunity that he had and a blessing to be in chains for Christ, because he knew that being there, he was advancing the gospel. Now, we talked a little bit about it. I don't think many of us would think that that's a great place to be, in chains for Christ. Certainly not physically. There are multiple things that Paul had to go through physically in this life that probably wasn't on his top 10 list. Probably, yeah, I want to be shipwrecked. I want to be beaten. Yeah, I want to be thrown in prison. I want to be carried outside of town and stoned to death. I'm looking forward to those things. Now, I don't think those were on his top 10. But I do know this. In the midst of every single one of those things, he was willing to give praise to God because he knew that in the midst of those things, God was right there with him. And that he wasn't going to leave him, wasn't going to forsake him, wasn't going to allow anything to happen to him that was not already planned and prepared for him. And so we can also have hope in the midst of our hurts. Now, you might be going through some things right now that it is a painful ordeal, a struggle. Maybe you're hurting because of someone else in your life that's hurting. Whatever it is that you're going through, I can just tell you this. By the testimony of Paul himself and by the testimony of many others who have realized that they're going to completely rely on the Lord to take care of them, that our hope comes right in the midst of hurt. Hope comes from our, first of all, security and intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Verses 14 and through 16 share this with us, and I read it just a moment ago, but I want to read it one more time. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Or did you not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship? And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Listen, folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know this as well. He is your Father. And He loves you. And He will always love you. And He will always watch over you. And He will always take care of you. I love that passage in Nehemiah that tells us that even in the midst of the struggles that we're going through, that we have a Father who's standing over us, even in the middle of the night, singing over us. You know, that's a beautiful picture of God's love for us. Hope comes from our security and intimacy with Him because He is a compassionate Father to His children. He loves His children. He is full of compassion for us. You as a parent understand what that compassion is towards your children. Now, I know there's some times when they can frustrate you, and I know there's some times when they just bug you to death, and there's other times that you wonder why in the world did we even decide to have children. But I can tell you this, folks. You as a parent understand and know the compassion that you have for your children and for your grandchildren as they come along, and even some of you for your great-grandchildren. You understand that. It is a binding love that is not easily broken between a parent and a child. In fact, in many ways, we would take the pain for our children. You know, there's been a few times when I've seen, one particular time that just stands out in my mind, my son broke his finger so bad that we took him to the emergency room. And in the midst of the emergency room, they were going to reset his finger. And really didn't give him any pain medication for it, but began to inject some in there. And it was even more painful than the broken part that was broken. And then they just reset it right there. And boy, I tell you, we were hurting. My son was a magnet to getting hurt. He just kind of like I was when I was growing up. I was busy, always getting into things, you know, enjoying life. And I remember as a young toddler, we were at a putt-putt golf course one time, and we'd been out playing putt-putt golf, and we were coming back into the building, and this man was walking out, and he opened the door, and the door hit my son right in the head and split his head open, and now we're back to the emergency room again. And, you know, but you have such pain for your children when they're in the midst of struggle like that. How can you imagine how much more it is for our Father who loves us? He knows our hurts. He knows what we're going through. How much more did God, through Jesus, take our pain and take our punishment and take our hurts? You see, God knew what our pain was inevitably going to be. Separation from Him forever because of the penalty of sin in our lives. But God so loved us that He gave His only Son, that if anyone would believe in Him, they would not perish, but they would have eternal life. Folks, God loves you so much. He loves you more than a parent can love their child, but He has this compassion upon us. He also alleviates our fears. Look at what it says in the first part of verse 15. It says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship." A slave again to fear. Are there some things in your life that just, they terrify you? You think, man, I can't imagine what it would be like to go through that. God is not making us a slave to that fear any longer because He has brought us redemption and freedom from those kinds of things. He gives us security. Because we know who holds our hand. We know who holds us in His hand. As a father holds his child, the Lord Himself is holding us. There's not a more secure feeling than a child who's been held in the loving, strong arms of his father. I know that there's times in your life where you feel like, God, please come and just hold me. We all come to those places. But you know what? When He does, our fears are washed away. Because we know we're held in the arms of our mighty God, our mighty Father who loves us so much. And then the last part of it, in verse 15, it says this, "You didn't receive the Spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him, what do? You cry out to the Father, Abba. You cry out." The Greek word here is krosdomen, which means to cry out, even in agony, continuously, continually crying out to God. Now, we've probably also been in situations as parents or taking care of children where they begin to cry and it seems like they're never going to stop crying. And you do almost anything you can to comfort them and help them get over that, whatever they're going through. But the Lord will be there with us continuously. And we can continuously cry out to Him, even in our struggles, even in our pain. Why? Because He will always be there for you. We live in a kind of a weird, let me just state this right out front. We live in kind of a weird society. Because we really don't understand what it means. Many of us don't really understand what it means to have somebody who says they love you and will love you continuously. There are many children who've grown up in homes that their parents say they love them, and then they realize their parents don't love them because they don't stay around, or they give them up for adoption, or whatever else. We live in a strange society. But I can tell you, as a Christian, you can know that your Father will always be there for you. And all you have to do is cry out. He will be there. And He will answer you. Call on Him and He will answer you, Jeremiah 33:3 says. And He will answer you and He will show you great and mighty things which you cannot even comprehend. Hope comes from our security and intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Secondly, hope comes from our companionship with Christ. You see, because we are now in a bond relationship with Jesus, He gives meaning and purpose to our suffering. How? Because He went through the very same thing for us. And we are co-heirs with Him. We are in the process of fulfilling the purpose that He had here on this earth. You see, Jesus is there with you no matter where you are. If you're facing struggles, He's there. Facing heartaches, He's there. Facing a job loss, He's there. Facing a breakup in your family, He's there. He's there with you all the time. And in the midst of that, He always does purposeful things. What I mean by that is, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of trials, He will be right there with you, showing you the way that you ought to go. We all recall that passage in James where it says to count it all joy when you go through trials. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance brings its complete work in you. That means Jesus is at work in us all the time. He's right here with us. And He's on purpose doing things and allowing things and showing us things. He will work it out always for good. Look at verse 28. One of my favorite my favorite verses in all this passage where we're going to start next week. And we know that in all things. Can you say all things? And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. If you're going through a struggle, God's at work. If you're having a great day, God's at work. If you don't know what else to do, God's at work. He's always at work doing His purposes in our life. Hope comes from our companionship with Christ. See, He gives strength and comfort even in the midst of suffering. God has all power to do anything that needs to happen. Do you believe that God is all-powerful God? What the word all-powerful literally means is He has all power. Not just some power or great power or pretty good power or the highest rank of power. He has all power. All power. And His power is able to do anything that needs to happen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 puts it like this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, if God has all power, and if God is truthful in everything that He says, can we believe that? Absolutely. Will He work in your life? Yes. Does He love you? Yes. Is He watching over you? Yes. Will He ever leave you or forsake you? No. I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love that story in Scripture. These three young men who would not bow down and worship an idol because their hearts were given to God. And when the king saw that they wouldn't bow down, he told them to fire up the fire pit to as hot as it could go, and then fire it up even hotter and throw these men in. They deserve to be an example for anyone else who would not bow down. They deserve to be an example for anyone else who would not do what he said was important. And so that's what happened. They bound them up. They carried them over to the edge of the fire pit. And it was so hot that the men trying to throw them in were burnt. Threw them in. But what happened? The king looked in and said, wait a minute. I thought we threw three guys in there. But I see four, and the fourth is like the Son of God. And so he called into the furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and I don't know the other guy, but you guys come out of here. And they came walking out, and nothing on them had been burned. You know, when you get close enough to a fire, something's going to get burned. Whether it's the hair that singed off of you or a layer of skin or whatever it is, you're going to get burned. They were in the hottest furnace ever. They walked right out. Why? Because God had not forsaken them, nor will He ever. He had compassion on them. He cared for them. He was going to be there for them. Well, their friend, who wasn't there at the time, taking care of business for the king, Daniel, also got a memo in his email one day. Well, they didn't have email, but you know what I mean. He got the memo that they couldn't pray to any other god. They had to pray to the king. Daniel said, no, I'm going to pray to God because I know who God is. And I know who the king is. The king can't meet all my needs. The king isn't my father. The king isn't the one I'm devoted to. I'm devoted to my God. And so he continued to pray. And boy, everybody else made a big deal about it. And they went to the king and said, did you know Daniel, the second in command, is disobeying your order? He's still praying to his God three times a day, up in his window. People see it. And so the king called Daniel in and said, Daniel, is this right? I've been told that you are not praying to me, you're praying to your God. And is this right? Tell me it's not right so I don't have to punish you. And Daniel could have said, oh, no, it's not right. They must be seeing something different. But Daniel said, yes, I pray to my God. I'm committed to Him. And the king said, I'm sorry I'm going to have to do this, but I have to throw you in the lion's den. In other words, you're done. But still with some hope in his heart, as they threw him into the den, the next morning he got up early and he ran to the lion's den. And he called out through the lion's den and says, Daniel, are you okay? And Daniel said, yeah, doing fine. I'm just hanging out with these cats in here. And they're all down there purring and licking each other and stuff. Daniel was fine. Why? Because God had not given up on him. Nor will he ever. If he has a purpose, he will fulfill it. No matter what you've gone through, and I dare say that most of us have not been thrown into a furnace, and most of us have not been thrown into the lion's den, but there have been other things that we've had to face in our lives, and will continue to do so. But hope is from the companionship that we have with Jesus Christ. He was right there in the middle of the furnace. He was right there, I believe, as the chief lion in the lion's den. And He'll be there with you. Thirdly, this morning, hope comes from our biblical worldview. Look at what verses 18 and 19 say. I consider that our present sufferings, think about that, where we are today in our society, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. You see, all suffering is temporary. There will be a day when all suffering is gone for those of us who know Jesus. There will be a day when all suffering continues eternally for those who don't know Jesus. All suffering is temporary because nothing is compared to eternal life with Him. Nothing. Folks, when we go there, as Bill Taylor did this past week, when we go there, we will never suffer again. Bill will never struggle to get up. He will never struggle to be able to do the things that he wants to do. He will sing with the choir of heaven. Nothing is compared to eternal life. Suffering, nothing is compared to heaven. Being there in the presence of God. I think of this all the time in my own heart, thinking of what it's truly going to be like to actually be in the presence of God with all the other people that have gone before me and will come after me. To be there in His presence, singing praises to Him with all the angels and all the people that are there. You see, our suffering is temporary. It comes and it's going to go. Nothing will be compared to our being in His presence. To literally being in the presence of God. Now, I know God is in our presence right now by His Holy Spirit. And I know that He's with me and that He'll never leave me or forsake me. But I also know this. To be in His presence with such power and such ability with all the others who have gone before us and will come after us. To be in His presence is going to be an amazing thing that we can't even comprehend. And Paul is certainly looking towards that as he was writing this church letter to the church at Rome. So all of our suffering is temporary. Our present sufferings, he uses this term, our present sufferings. The Greek term is noun kairo, which means the sufferings that we're going through for a present season. It won't last forever. Now, sometimes when we go through struggles, we think it's going to last forever. Is this ever going to end? Are we ever going to be done with COVID? Are we ever going to be done? You know, are we always going to have to go through stuff? You know, guess what? COVID's not always going to be around. It may seem like it is right now, but it's not always going to be around. Listen, folks, there's going to be a day when the dead in Christ rise. There's going to be a day when Jesus comes and takes over here on this earth. There's going to be a day when people stand before Jesus and they kneel and they say, "You are King and Lord," to the glory of God the Father. We have to realize and understand that what we're going through right now is not permanent. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So what do we do about that? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul was writing to Timothy, he said this, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure, I believe, is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Folks, this suffering we go through right now is temporary. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But the God has us here on this earth right now for a reason and a purpose. And there will be suffering, struggles and trials, even persecution. All suffering, though, is temporary. All of creation anticipates His return. Look at what verse 19 says. It says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The children of God will be revealed someday. And all people will understand and know that what they heard these people, hopefully us, I pray it's all of us, but I know that they will look and hear what we've been saying and realize what we were saying was true. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 puts it like this. Jesus told him a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted up, it formed heads. And when the weeds also appeared, the owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go out and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may also uproot the wheat that's with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at that time I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds, tie them into bundles and be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Listen, folks, there are a lot of people who claim to be religious, claim to be on our side, claim to be on God's side, but they're truthfully just following their own religious desires. But creation will be restored. This time will come when there will be a reaping. And those that know Christ will be taken to be with Him, and those that do not will be separated from Him forever. Revelation 21, you recall when we went through this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then He said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Folks, listen to me. No matter what suffering we are going through, things are going to be different. We need to be anticipating His return. We need to be looking to the time that God has in store for us, and I believe very, very soon. Our physical bodies, the Scripture tells us in verse 23, will be redeemed. Aren't you glad about that? We won't have to be in bodies any longer that break down and get sick and go through all the struggles and physical ailments that we go through. We will receive glorified bodies. And our bodies will no longer be bound by sin or time or space. We will be with God. We will be in His presence. We'll be able to understand completely everything that He's said, everything that He's done. And we look forward to that day. We have a hope that comes from our biblical worldview. This world's not lasting long. It's temporary. We're looking forward to Him coming back, and He's going to redeem us. Amen? Lastly, hope comes from our confidence in the future. Look at how Paul put it in verses 22 through 25. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as the sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in His hope, in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we will wait patiently for it. Our hope comes from the confidence of the fact that our spiritual fruit gives us confidence. You see, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And He's there to walk alongside of you, to help you, to bear witness to the fact that you are His. And because we are filled with His Spirit, we are to bring forth fruit. Now, what kind of fruit are we supposed to bring forth? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things are part of what we ought to be bearing fruit. They ought to be coming from us, from the inside, where He is resident in us. In other words, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then there needs to be a life change. You can't be like you used to be. You can't keep on doing the things you used to do. I can't keep on doing the things I used to do. I'm a new person. I've been made as a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And the reason that's happening is because I have a new Lord. I'm not my Lord anymore. He is. Some of us have a difficult time getting off the throne of our lives and giving it up to the one who demands to be Lord, because He is Lord. The spiritual fruit gives us confidence in the fact that we are His. We have hope for my confidence. God's presence gives us confidence. Do you know that God's right there with you right now? Do you know that for sure? How do you know that? Two things. One is because He said He would come if you asked Him. Secondly, because God never says He would do something that He doesn't do. Thirdly, one more thing. I know He's here because I feel His presence in my life. This is not some kind of abstract thing. I know He's here. I hear Him speaking to me through His Word. His Spirit bears testimony with my spirit that I'm His. And in the presence of all the things that are going on in this world, He gives us hope. Do you have hope in the fact that He's coming again to receive? He will do what He says He will do. And so here's the question. Are you absolutely sure that you not our own? We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are now to glorify God in our mortal bodies. Are you confident today that you are a child of God? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for these words in Romans chapter 8, because they just continually remind us of Your faithfulness and Your love for us. Lord, You're not going to give up on us. you're going to continue to be with us. All we have to do is call out to you. I pray, Father, for anyone who's listening today, whether here or in another place, in their home or wherever they might be today. I pray for anyone who's not confident in the fact that they're yours. They're not confident in the fact that you are there for them. And that they would call out to you today, as Scripture tells us. And they would claim your salvation for themselves by turning their life over to you, giving you the lordship of their life, confessing their sins, repenting from them, and coming to you. Lord, if there's anyone who needs to do this today, and I know there must be some, I pray, Lord, that they would do it today and not put it off, not hope that they'll have another day, not hope that they'll have another chance, but this is the day of salvation. And I pray, Father, that they would trust you as their Savior and Lord, maybe by praying a prayer like this: Dear Heavenly Father, I know that Jesus came and died on the cross as a ransom for me to cover my sins. And so, Lord, today I repent of those sins. I'm so sorry I've done them. And I turn to you and I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come and live inside of me right now, and that you will be my Lord, and that I will follow you all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in your presence forever. Lord, I give you my life today. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed a prayer like that, according to God's word, He is now living inside of you, and He will never leave you or forsake you. And you can have hope even in the midst of struggle. Hope in the middle of a storm. Hope like Jesus showed His disciples out in the middle of a storm-tossed lake when everybody thought they were going to die and drown. He was asleep because he knew who was rocking the boat. And so when they were afraid, they came to Him. And He simply said, "Peace, be still." And it was at that point the disciples began to worship Him because they knew He was God. Is that the point you're at today? Do you realize right now that He is God? Would you come to Him just as the disciples came to Jesus, afraid for their lives, afraid for their future, afraid they weren't going to make it? But in the midst of the storm, He made it all right. And immediately the winds quit and the sea was calm and they were safe. He will do that for you as well. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation.